You're still running your business on QuickBooks? More like quicksand. The bigger your company grows, the faster you sink with outdated software. Right now, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind financing program. That's special financing at netsuite.com/yourmoney. netsuite.com/yourmoney.
Here's your money briefing for Thursday, May 6th. I'm J.R. Whalen from The Wall Street Journal. When applying for a job, there are a lot of details to get in order. Updating your resume, writing a cover letter. But what about a list of references? A letter or two from past employers used to be standard, but fewer people these days think it's necessary.
You get a sense that no one's going to give a bad reference. Like if you got fired from a job, you probably wouldn't give that boss as a reference. So there's a perception that there's less of a value add.
Krithika Varagher writes the At Work column for the Wall Street Journal. She's been looking into the decline of references and talking to people who come down on both sides of the argument. We'll talk to her about it after the break.
You're still running your business on QuickBooks? More like quicksand. The bigger your company grows, the faster you sink with outdated software. Right now, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind financing program. That's special financing at netsuite.com/yourmoney. netsuite.com/yourmoney.
When applying for a job, how important is a letter of recommendation? Not as much as it used to be, according to a lot of hiring managers. So why this change in attitude, and what kind of vetting is being done in its place? Krithika Varagher wrote about this in her At Work column for the WSJ, and she's here to talk about it. Krithika, thanks for taking the time to chat.
Thank you so much for having me.
So about 60% of companies surveyed last year by the background check company HireRight said they performed checks on prospective hires, and that's down 10% from 3 years earlier. So why are fewer hiring managers placing importance on checking applicants' references?
First of all, there's a sense that they can be a little bit redundant because references are usually still people that applicants provide themselves. So you get a sense that no one's going to give a bad reference. Like if you got fired from a job, you probably wouldn't give that boss as a reference. So there's a perception that there's less of a value add. And there's a lot of other kinds of social proofing now too, like social media and the internet. So in terms of corroborating things from your resume, there are other ways to do that than calling up your supervisors. So for both of those reasons, the centrality of the personal job reference has been displaced a little bit.
You know, one argument in favor of references is that they can help a hiring manager get a fuller picture of a candidate. If that's now being done in other ways, what should job applicants watch out for?
So it's pretty standard practice now to look at an applicant's social media profile. So anyone on the job market at this point, it's common wisdom to clean up your social media, even if it's not part of the application. Anything on the internet that is associated with your name is fair game for an employer to look up. And there are also a variety of automated background checking softwares now, so they can kind of take the phone call and so on out of the equation. So basically, with the rise of the internet, there are a lot of other ways to check out whether an applicant's resume is legit or not.
Oh boy, it seems like whenever we talk about seeking jobs, it always comes back to watch out what you put on social media.
I think that's right. But curiously enough, some people are trying to take a step back from the kind of like stalker aspect of social media. So one HR person I talked to said that she restricts herself to LinkedIn searches only because that's like very clearly a professional social media network. And she has come to believe that like looking at someone's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram is just like not helpful and is a little bit too personal. So I think we're starting to see folks take a little bit of a step back from that kind of deep stock. But I think, for job applicants, it's better to be on the safe side. But it was just an interesting kind of trend I noticed when I was talking to people for this.
But isn't there more to a person's candidacy beyond just what kind of work they've done? You know, there's how well they're going to mesh with a group or fit in with a department. And so couldn't a letter from a reference or maybe even a phone call to a referrer help make things more personal?
Yeah, it sure can. I mean, it depends on how you use a reference. If it's a really perfunctory kind of strengths and weaknesses question, I think you can expect the call to be a little bit less informative. But You know, one of the startup executives I talked to said she tries to ask references to recreate personal scenarios where they worked with the candidate to talk about a problem they solved. And, you know, the more specific you get, the more information you can get about how a person might actually be like in the office. And another way to do that, of course, is to just make your interview questions and not the references reflect company culture more directly.
We've talked on the show a lot about ways the pandemic has changed the process of finding a job. Is that the case for references too? Has the pandemic changed things?
If anything, it has. You know, the pandemic means a lot of hiring is still happening fully virtually. So there's a much greater burden of proof on a candidate that you only see through a screen who you never are going to meet in person. There's so many parts of their background that you might want to check out due to the virtual process. So if anything, the pandemic has made it more necessary, especially for smaller companies, to do due diligence. One of the startup CEOs I talked to had a good perspective on this, where he said, I don't see a positive reference as a good thing, but I would see a negative reference as a really important red flag. So for him, it's more of like a useful boundary than like a useful new source of information about the candidate. So I thought that was a good way to think about it.
And now what about the perspective of the person making the recommendation? You're kind of sticking your neck out when you recommend someone. So there's got to be some risk if they don't work out.
Yeah, I think that a lot of companies actually have kind of, especially larger companies, have policies now where they will only confirm employment and will not give qualitative references because they are worried about the kind of litigation aspect of this. So, especially some of the reader feedback I got from people doing hiring and stuff, they were like, we would love to get better references, but we've seen this kind of backlash to giving substantive feedback because of what you're talking about, you know, linking your reputation to this person, the threat of litigation or pushback or, you know, just any kind of interpersonal problems. So it definitely is a factor, and we are seeing a rise in kind of no comment policies in a lot of places for that reason.
Are there hiring managers in particular types of businesses that you've spoken with that value job references more than others?
I think at smaller companies and startups, it seemed to me like people valued references more just because they're a smaller team. They're not subcontracting a lot of HR stuff, and they want to make sure every next employee is a really good addition because they're, you know, bootstrapping and so on. I would say it's less popular or important in technical fields where you might have a coding assignment or multiple coding assignments to prove that you can do the job. At big tech companies, for example, at Apple, where one of the people I talked to for the story work now, he didn't have any references at all, but he did do a take-home coding assignment that took about 6 hours, and that was by far the most important criteria for getting hired. So, you know, in some of these STEM fields, that can be more useful than calling up someone for a qualitative reference. But the test is not restricted to STEM, of course. There's writing tests, editing tests. You can really test any part of any job. You could even test a line cook on the job, for example. So the rise of kind of substantive interview assignments has also displaced references in some ways.
All right, that's WSJ At Work columnist Krithika Varagar. Krithika, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me again.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.